नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिके। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 1 द मनुज एडमिनिस्ट्रेटर्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्स टेक्स्ट 16 तमीह मानं निरहंकृतं बुद्धं तमीह मानं निरहंकृतं बुद्धं निराशि संपूर्णमनन्यचोदितं निराशि संपूर्णमनन्यचोदितं नृन् शिक्षायन्तं निजवात्मसंस्थितं प्रभुं प्रपद्येऽखिलधर्मभावनम् तम् And to the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ihamanam, who is acting for our benefit. Nirahankrutam, who is without entanglement or desire for gain. Buddham, who is complete in knowledge. Nirasisam, without desires to enjoy the fruits of his activities. Purnam, who is full and therefore has no need to fulfill desires. Ananya, by others. Choditam, induced or inspired. Nrun, all of human society, Sikshayantam, to teach the real path of life. Nija Bhartma, his own personal way of life. Samsthitam, to establish without deviation. Prabhum, and to the Supreme Lord. Prapadde, I request everyone to surrender Akhila Dharma Bhavanam, who is the master of all religious principles or the occupational duties of a human being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, works just like an ordinary human being. Yet, He does not desire to enjoy the fruits of work. He is full in knowledge, free from material desires and diversions, and completely independent. As the supreme teacher of human society, he teaches his own way of activities, and thus he inaugurates the real path of religion. I request everyone to follow him. Purport. This is the sum and substance of our Krishna conscious movement. We are simply requesting human society to follow in the footsteps of teacher of Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna. Follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is, and your life will be successful. That is the summary of Krishna Conscious Movement. The organizer of Krishna Conscious Movement is teaching everyone how to follow Lord Ramachandra, how to follow Lord Krishna, how to follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this material world, we need a leader for monarchy or good government. Lord Sri Ramachandra, by his practical example, showed how to live for the benefit of all human society. He fought with the demons like Ravana. He carried out the order of his father. He remained the faithful husband of Mother Sita. Thus, there is no comparison to Lord Ramachandra's acting as an ideal king. Indeed, people still hanker for Ramarajya, a government conducted like that of Lord Ramachandra. Similarly, although Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he taught his disciple and devotee Arjuna how to lead a life ending in going back home, back to Godhead. Tattva deham punarjanma naiti mahaiti su Arjuna. All teachings, political, economic, social, religious, cultural, philosophical, are to be found in Bhagavad Gita. One only has to follow them strictly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead also comes as Lord Chaitanya just to play the part of a pure devotee. Thus, Lord teaches us in different ways just to make our life successful. And Swayambhuva Manu requests us to follow him. Swayambhuva Manu is the leader of mankind. He has given a book called Manu Samhita to guide human society. Herein, he directs us to follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations. These incarnations are described in Vedic literature, and Jayadeva Goswami has described 10 important incarnations in summary. Kesava Dhruta Meena Sarira Jaya Jagadisa Hari. Kesava Dhruta Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisa Hari. Kesava Dhruta Buddha Sarira Jaya Jagadisa Hari, etc. Swayambhuva Manu instructs us to follow the instructions of God's incarnations, especially Krishna's instructions of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Appreciating Bhakti Marga, as instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvam Bhattacharya thus depicted the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Sikhyartham Ekaha Purusaha Puranaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dhari Kurpam Budhir Yastam Aham Prapaddi. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God at Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge. His devotional service and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka 6.74. In this age of Kali, people cannot follow the instructions of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, the Lord himself takes the part of Sri Krishna Chaitanya to teach personally how to become Krishna conscious. He asks everyone to follow him and to become a guru to deliver the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. Yare dekhe, tara kahe, Krishna upadesh, amar agnyaya guru hana haya, tara idesh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master. Try to liberate everyone in this land. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 7.128. The coherent purpose of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to teach human society how to be happy by following instructions of Supreme Lord. Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurubani Pracharine Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Once in his Australian tour, Srila Prabhupada was asked by some of the journalists, "What is your meditation? What is your best form of meditation?" And Srila Prabhupada emphatically answered, "By writing books to glorify Krishna, that is my best form of meditation." So we can see that the Bhaktivedanta purports given, all this literature, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the way we must meditate on Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is our teacher, and to follow in the footsteps of the teacher is the best way to save ourselves. This particular chapter I was looking at, Manu, that is Swayambhuva Manu, is giving some ontological definition of Krishna. Let me just enumerate some of them because it's very important. Krishna is inactive in his spiritual energy and is untouched by the activities of the material energy. So what is the meaning of inactive in his spiritual energy? So there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita, one who sees action in inaction, inaction in action, is a true seer. So basically, action means you have a reaction. When Krishna acts within his spiritual potency, that's an action, because that's natural. It has no bondage, it's liberating, it's enlightening. So when Krishna performs his pastime, when he comes here, all his actions have no reaction. Rather, they are all auspicious, they're purifying, they liberate us. Then Manu says about Krishna, he has no beginning, no end, no middle. So Krishna is so infinite, at the level of infinity, you cannot figure out where is the beginning, where is the end, where is the middle. Everything is infinite. It's inconceivable. So before we approach to the subject matter of God, we must first of all be very well train us to recognize the inconceivable nature of Krishna's ontology. No inside, no outside. Right? Krishna doesn't have inside or outside. So he is all embracing, in the sense, simple example of Krishna looking, Mother Yashoda looking into the mouth of Krishna, and the entire cosmos she sees. And not only that, in the mouth of Krishna, she sees herself looking into Krishna's mouth. So Krishna is inside or outside. No dualities. Krishna is freed from dualities. He has no beginning, no end. All of us, we have a beginning and end. All our experience at some point of time will come to an end. mine and theirs. This is how I have been living in this world. This is mine, that is his. This is my territory, that is his territory. Krishna is beyond this. Why? Because he is the only actor. He has no competitor. He is the only doer. He is the only enjoyer. He creates the vision, and that vision is gradually gets manifested. He is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, yet he is never entangled. He is fully independent. So these are some of the things that was given in this chapter. So he is the creator, he is the destroyer. When we create something, we normally become attached to it. We can't destroy. Normally you won't find any one of us, we create something and destroy it. You will not see that. But and you maintain someone, after maintaining also you can destroy. That's also not possible. But Krishna does this. And he does in such a way, he declares that he is only the independent personality. You know, there is this story of Samba. I was reading while I was coming from Bhubaneswar to Lucknow. So Samba, Krishna's son, he kidnapped Lakshmana, that is the daughter of Duryodhana. And as soon as the Duryodhana and his party, that is the Hastinapur warriors, they saw that their daughter has been kidnapped, immediately they went and attacked Samba from all directions, and finally they captured him. News went to Dwaraka, so immediately, you know, the Dwaraka Vasis were very furious. But Balaram had soft corner for Duryodhana, and he said, "Don't worry, I will take care of it." So without going details of the story, the fact is, you know, finally Balaram went, and by his wrath he convinced the Hastinapur Vasis he is the absolute truth, and they all surrendered. And finally Duryodhana happily did Kanyadan. Ab dekho, just see this beauty. Lakshmana is Duryodhana's daughter, married to Samba, Krishna's son. And in that way, relation-wise, Duryodhana is Sambandhi, right? That's is
Krishna's equal.
Equal. Krishna's equal, Duryodhana. But at the end of Mahabharata, and at the end of Rajasya Yajna, Duryodhana comes and sees Indraprastha, the fabulous festival. He is becoming, you know, angry within, envious. His envy for Yudhishthira is increasing like anything. And you know that whole story. After the entire festival is over, the early morning, Duryodhana rushes to the assembly where the Pandav brothers and Krishna are enjoying, and you know, they're reliving the entire festival that was so nicely arranged, organized, and finished. And there Duryodhana goes and takes water for the land for the water, and falls into the water, and that makes everyone to laugh. Yudhishthira Maharaj says, don't laugh, don't laugh. And Krishna says, no, no, laugh, laugh, laugh. Imagine. And finally, he ensures that Duryodhana and his entourage are completely vanquished. Nobody can take Krishna for granted. He is fully independent. Absolutely independent. Jara, the hunter, he shoots the arrow at Krishna's lotus feet. And when thinking that is the ear of the deer, and when he sees this is Krishna, he feels miserable. He recognizes that the only hell is his only, the only destination. The hell is the only destination for him. He beats his chest, rolls in the ground, cries profusely. And Krishna lifts him. What is his qualification? He's a hunter. He's a butcher. He's been killing animals. He lifts him, makes him sit in the divine spiritual plane and sends him. He transforms his body to spiritual body and sends him back to Godhead. In one end, he destroys one complete dynasty. The other hand, he takes Jara back to Godhead. Without even thinking whether he has qualification or not, it takes him. Fully independent. When he wants something, that is going to happen. That is why, there is this discussion in the between the discussion between Narada and Vyasadeva. Narada is saying, the only person who exists is Krishna. The only person who exists is Krishna. So Krishna alone exists independently. And because he exists independently, whatever he wants, that is going to happen. You want, you don't want. You appreciate, don't appreciate. Doesn't matter. He alone exists. Whatever he would want, that will happen. You better accept it. Not only you accept it, you become an instrument in carrying out his vision. That is your glory. So my glory is to surrender to the process of what Krishna wants to achieve. That is better. So Krishna is not only independent, he is an independent person. He is a person. What is the meaning of a person? What is meaning of a person? Person has a form. What is meaning of a person? We always say, our philosophy says, God is a person. What is meaning of person? We may have a form, but we may be impersonal. Impersonalists are, this earth is overburdened by impersonalists, in fact. We have a form, but we are impersonal. What is meaning of person? Relationship. You are a person, means you are somebody's son, somebody's husband, somebody's wife, somebody's father, somebody's friend. Person means You have a relationship and you engage in that relationship. That is person. Sometimes people say he is a wonderful person. What is meaning of that? That he cares his relationship. One of the most important thing of a person, suppose you feel you are a person, you must feel, always you must feel you are grateful. A person, any person, doesn't matter whether a king or a sweeper, doesn't matter. The best trait of a personality is that he is grateful. Because it is all this relationship sustains myself. But if we look at the material relationship, it's very difficult to sustain this relationship, to engage those relationships. Because materially, you cannot become a good husband, good wife, good son, good father, nowhere. You can't sustain that relationship. But Krishna is that infinite person who can sustain his relationship with all of us without any error, no judgment of error. He is such an infinite person, he can reciprocate individually with each one of us the way we have surrendered to him. In the same manner, he would be there with us all the time. He kills Draupadi's 5 sons. And still, he knows how to sustain his relationship with Draupadi. He kills the son of Arjuna, Abhimanyu, in the battlefield. And still he knows how to sustain his relationship with Arjuna. He kills 100 sons of Gandhari. Still he knows how to sustain his relationship with Gandhari. Because his vision is not Gandhari-centric. His vision is not Arjuna-centric. His vision is not Draupadi-centric. He is impartial to all. So he is an independent person and we need to accept it. It's better for us, we have to accept it. That is how he is. We must know how to accept Krishna as he is. We should not think Krishna should be like this. This will be the biggest mistake in our spiritual journey. Krishna as he is must be accepted. When Krishna guided Kalayavana, you all of you know Kalayavana, to the cave where Muchukunda, the king Muchukunda, who was fighting on behalf of demigods. And when he was fighting with the demigods, he was fighting for years. And demigods wanted to give him a benediction. And she said, I need rest. So if you go to Badrinath, you will find there is Muchukunda cave. So there he was lying. He was in rest. And from Mathura, this Kalayavana, Mathura is just here, right? 15 kilometers from here. And where is Badrinath? It's almost like, you know, even materially speaking, this is almost like, you know, at least 1,000 kilometers. And Krishna made him to run. Krishna is running and Kalayavana is thinking he will catch Krishna. And still he is not able to catch. Until Krishna reached that cave where Muchukunda is in peaceful sleep. Right? Concentrated sleep. He wants complete body rest. Right? And as soon as Krishna entered into the cave and he disappeared, and this Kalaivana is looking and saw this Muchukunda is lying there, and he thought, this is Krishna. And he kicked at him. And when Muchukunda opened his eyes, that fire coming from his eyes burnt Kalaivana into ashes. And then Muchukunda looks here and there and sees the self effulgent Krishna and offers his prayer. First he asks him, you know, he has that, you know, these are all great personalities. So he has that audacity to ask Krishna, please explain to me, who are you? And Krishna explains. And then Muchukunda says, you are Krishna, you are God, you are the absolute truth. And in one of this, now this he says here, 10.51.51, he says, having conquered the entire circle of directions, which he has done, Muchukunda has conquered all 10 directions on behalf of demigods. And being thus free of conflict, a man sits on a splendid throne. He was glorified by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all demigods, unequivocally, you are glorified. Receiving praise from his peers. That was his situation. And then he says, but when he enters the woman's chamber where sex pleasure is found, he is led about like a pet animal, O Lord. That becomes, means he says that although he is such a powerful king, he is being praised by all the demigods, but as soon as he enters into the chamber of his own queens, he is like a pet animal. Right? Why did he pray like that to Krishna? Because, you see, Krishna had millions of girlfriends in Braj. Each of these girlfriends, their beauty was unparalleled. Each one of them can feint great sages like Vishwamitra, Vasishtha, you name anyone. But none of them, they could harm or they could agitate the senses of Krishna. There is this incident where Rukmini wrote a letter to Krishna that please kidnap me, because I have already decided that you are my husband. Krishna receives that letter almost around evening, the day before the Swayambhara is going to happen, and Shishupal is actually eating rasagullas that he will have Rukmini as his consort. At that time, Krishna immediately took a decision without letting anyone. He left for Vidarbha. Early morning he received this, and early morning he started. By evening he reached Vidarbha. And next day, early morning, in fact this whole thing Rukmini has already written. How, not only Rukmini wrote to Krishna to kidnap, she wrote also how he must kidnap. So she said that she will go to, in the early morning there will be normal ritual of worshipping Katvayani. So she went, there is a procession, Rukmini, and she had many mothers, because Bhishmaka, her father, had many wives. So many mothers, she is in the center, surrounded by many mothers, and surrounded further by many servants, maid servants, and surrounded by black commandos, right? And this is, nobody can see actually Rukmini. And there on the side, you know, Shishupala, Dantabakra, Viduratha, Salwa, all these demons, right? Why we say them demon? What is the difference between demon and a demigod or a devotee? Demon means who recognizes everything is his, or who claims his own proprietorship. And a devotee says everything is Krishna's. That's the only difference. So all these people, they were, you know, trying to have an inkling of Rukmini. And they are not able to see because Rukmini has been surrounded by mothers, maid servants, black commandos. No way. And the procession went, Rukmini saw, Rukmini went, had the darshan of Katayani, and then everybody, they all engage in performing various rituals. And Krishna, she had written on that letter to Krishna that I will come alone suddenly, and that time you should kidnap me. So when everybody is busy in all the rituals, Rukmini caught hold of one of her maid servant and came out. At that time, no black commando is ready, nobody is ready. She came alone. And her consciousness is Krishna consciousness. She is deeply thinking about Krishna, only Krishna. And that thinking, very thinking, is making her so beautiful. Her beauty is just oozing in all directions, as if her beauty will conquer 10 directions. And as soon as Rukmini came out, suddenly Sisupala, Dantabhakra, Salva, all those people, they saw Rukmini. But what they will see, before they could see Rukmini, the beauty of her fainted them. They lost their consciousness. They are rolling on the ground. They don't know what's happening. And Krishna came, like a hawk, picked Krishna, Rukmini, and take away. Why I am narrating this story? You see that Rukmini, by her beauty, made, you know, these are not ordinary warriors. You know, we may be, you know, sometime when we hear, we take them for granted. They are not extraordinary warriors. The Sisupala, you know, Damagosa, Dantabhakra, Bidurath, not ordinary people, extraordinary people. You know, in Jarasandha, you know, Jarasandha is known. He is a lover of cows, lover of brahmanas, extraordinary people. They lost their, they're completely finished. And Krishna was surrounded by 16,108 such queens whose beauty were exquisite, you know, but they could not agitate Krishna's senses at all. Why 16,108 wives? Nobody. Because all this beauty is his creation, his opulence. He cannot be conquered by such beauty. But anyway, this is the way to understand that why we must think about Krishna. Because thinking about Krishna, sokatha sunnatam sokatha Krishna. So when we think about Krishna, we hear about Krishna, the individual soul, after, you know, Prabhupada gives very nice in his purport in 5th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th or 6th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam of 1st canto, in one of the purport, Prabhupada says that when we hear about Krishna consciousness, Krishna, we should practice this apprenticeship of devotional service for many, many years. Don't ask how many years I have to practice. Without any question, we must go on practicing until the drop of mercy would fall upon me when I would see within my sense, within myself, Krishna. And that is not very easy. Yogis, they go to the caves of Himalaya. They give up all kind of sense gratification, maintain highly austere life, like Lila Sukha Prabhu or Bilamangala Thakur writes, pravala sobha divas ivadirgha kesa, pravala sobha ivadirgha kesa, batambu parna sanaputa deha, mule tarunam munaya patanti govinda damo dharamadavit. He says these yogis, they go to the caves of Himalaya, perform severe austerities, batambu parna. They simply sustain their body by breath and few leaves of the plants around. And that way, putasen putasana deha, their body is absolutely pure. And then, sitting under a tree, they, after lot of realization, they start chanting the name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yogi means, once I say yogi, not I, means in the Shastra says yogi. Yogi means, he must be in these three categories. He is either Brahman realized, is Paramatma realized, or is Bhagavan realized. Yogi means, he must be realized, he must have access to the absolute intelligence. Anything, you know, we have our own memory. All of you understand this? We have memory, right? Some memory we have the access, not all of the memory. Jnanam, knowledge, we have some access to the knowledge. Forgetfulness, we have access to this. But these are all, this smriti, jnanam, apohanam, these are all patterns. You know, this is a little philosophical. I don't know whether I should speak about it. But these are all patterns. These patterns are created by the interaction of three modes of material nature. And hence, these patterns have boundary. Right? And because they have boundary, you cannot be engaged in any pattern, because that is limited. Nature of jiva is to always seek or to be lost in infiniteness. What is meaning of that? That means it cannot, you know, suppose, you know, just like, you know, giving a material example, suppose you have $10, you would like to have $100. Once you have $100, you would like to have $10,000, like that. Similarly, a jiva, you know, wants to be in a rasa, in a relationship with Krishna, and that relationship is not finite. It has no boundary. It is infinite. That mellow one derives by engaging in devotional service to Krishna, that mellow is not limited. That is unlimited mellow. Okay? And unless we have access to that limitless source of mellow, we will not be satisfied. Mind, we will not take a full stop. Okay, I have now reached there. I have reached the ocean. I am satisfied. This will not be awakened within us unless I have access to that intelligence. Intelligence is something, buddhi yoga, Krishna tells again and again in Bhagavad Gita, Buddhi Yoga, intelligence. The absolute intelligence is to be engaged in Krishna's service. That has no boundary. And in yogi, sitting in the Himalaya Gupa, first recognizes that, you know, first he doesn't see Krishna as Krishna. Of course, yogi first doesn't see Krishna as Krishna. But he sees Krishna as Paramatma. How? By virtue of this limitless intelligence that he sees. This is there in second canto, second chapter, verse number 35, where Suta Goswami is describing a yogi have the he directly sees Paramatma by virtue of his union with this intelligence. He sees the source of the intelligence. Because this intelligence doesn't have a boundary. This is a very big philosophical topic. I don't have the time now to talk about. But the point is, whether you are in Brahmananda state, you are in Paramatma realization state, or you are in Bhagavana state, you are dealing with the infinite personality. Just like the gopis, many, many lifetimes, many, many yugas, they engage themselves in devotional service. And their perfection came when, on the autumn full moon night, they had that opportunity within separate kunja, each one of them, they could dance with Krishna to their heart's content. And that is the perfection of each and every individual jiva. To be situated at the servant of our wonderful master. But we, in the process, we have to accept the master the way he is. We should not conclude the master according to our own concoction. And this is very important. Hare Krishna. So, to conclude, Prabhupada says in this purport, as we saw, that remember Krishna, we have to see the lives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to see the lives of Lord Ramachandra, see the life of Lord Krishna. We have these three things, wonderful personality. Hear about them. All their wonderful activities. There is daily activities of Krishna. Narada sees that. It's wonderful. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. So, from these lives, when we observe, we can easily, you know, it doesn't happen spontaneously. It takes lot of preparation, because when we are soaked in ignorance and suddenly Prabhupada and his wonderful followers brought this wonderful knowledge, wonderful information to us, it would take some time for us for these information to sink in, such that we will be able to appreciate these pastimes, these way of life Krishna, Rama and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited, and to make our life complete. Life has to be complete. Complete means I have no other. Prabhupada explains that what is meaning of complete. Complete means I have no desire. No desire, no other desire. So when I have become servant of my master, real master, all my desires will be fulfilled by my master. I have no more desires to be fulfilled. So many desires will be there, but all those desires will be fulfilled by Krishna. And hence, we must meditate on our Krishna consciousness by practicing Krishna consciousness so many years, so many lifetimes, without ever demanding from Krishna, "Oh Krishna, when you will take me back to Godhead?" Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any question, comment? Karavajan Prabhu. What is our qualification? Very nice question actually. Yogyata vichare kichhi nahi paui. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our Acharya is singing. Actually, we have no qualification. No qualification. Okay? We are so insignificant. Suppose I die just now. That will have any impact on this world? Once I was telling, when I was in San Jose, in a congregation, I was telling, "So if I die, then I pointed one devotee. I said, if you die now, will that make any?" So that devotee looked little morose, right? Then I said, "Okay, all this congregation, if they suddenly die, will that make any impact on this world to go on?" No. Then they all became very morose. Then I said, "Even if this entire universe is destroyed, will that have any impact?" No impact. So what is our yogyata? No yogyata. Okay? The only thing that matters is Krishna. He does everything happen. He manifests, again he winds up. What is our qualification? No qualification. We should continue. The point that we should understand what is Krishna consciousness. Okay? And we have to stick to our acharyas. Continue. When that drop of mercy will fall on us, leave it to Krishna. This is what we should be intrigued. Balaram had lot of affection for Duryodhana. That is why he didn't participate in Mahabharata. Even Balaram surrendered to Krishna's will. He surrendered. Balaram had lot of affection for Duryodhana. And that is the reason he left. He was not part of the Mahabharata battle. Yes. Yeah. No. If you read also there, they were simply, you know, he dragged the Hastinapur into the Ganga. That time, the Hastinapur Basis, they all came and we said, "We know you are absolute truth, but we wanted to see your prowess." Yeah. Correct.
Krishna has told this. So, he is not
not educated about
exactly. Yes. By his, he is, nothing agitates him. But the devotion of his devotees conquers him. And he is ready to do anything for them. Yeah. Yeah. Can you repeat the last sentence? What is it?
I said that how can we develop a relationship in another
devotee? Okay. Yeah, yeah. So is now as I told you, we can only satisfy our relationship only when I am improving in my relationship with Krishna. That is why the most important is that my connection with Krishna should always be in upward journey. Then only, finally everything is taken care of by Krishna only. Right? So I am just there as an instrument in all those relationships. Finally Krishna is only connected. We are getting connected in such a way that we should help each other, inspire each other to make our connection with Krishna stronger. That's all. Nothing else. No placating, all these things will help. Okay? But it has to be done in a very judicious, in a proper manner. Of course, this requires a little more. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Paramanande Hari Hari.